up, everybody? Welcome to the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast, third edition of the 2018 year, second edition since the NFL Draft. We're getting closer and closer to prime fantasy football season, which I would consider mid-July to late August.
It's fair.
Mid-July to late August.
It's heating up now, though. People are getting the itch.
Yeah. Most drafts are in August, but, like, really, it starts picking up at, like, mid-July, I would say.
Once we get inside of 100 days to kick off is when people start to start to feel it.
And OTAs.
Checking for magazines. And,
OTAs going on right now, mini camps and stuff, and training camps, and coach speaks, and depth charts that aren't actually depth charts or official. They're just really guesses. Rumors, like Rob Gronkowski, which I'll bring up later on. We're going to do a mock draft, though, today. This is going to be one of our first mock draft specials. We're going to have a bunch throughout the course of the fantasy football season here, and we're going to do a bunch of different kinds of leagues, but today, 12-team PPR. Snake draft, obviously. We'll do some auctions, too. But today, we're doing 12-team PPR. We're picking in the 11 spot. You insinuated before we went on here that you don't like the 11 spot.
It's a tough spot to be in because you don't really get like that elite player. You get two pretty good guys. You got to draft well once you get to that spot. You can be pretty brain dead and pick well in the top five.
And generally, I think it's a harder spot to be in. You get two really good players. So if you nail your picks, you're gonna be better off for it. But on the other hand, you're not getting a stud.
No, that you got.
That's tough.
Instead of getting a dollar, you're getting 2 50-cent pieces.
So let's launch right into it. I'm launching the draft here. We're on a mock draft site, and we're going through it. And so far, we're already got some picks flying off the board. We got Ezekiel Elliott going first overall. A little bit of a surprise there. Le'Veon Bell 2, Todd Gurley 3, David Johnson 4, and Antonio Brown 5. Ezekiel Elliott 1, I got to be honest, I think that's a bad pick. I think there's 4 guys I would take ahead of him.
Yeah,
I
definitely
think 1 is way too early.
I wouldn't take Zeke 1. If I wasn't going to take...
Should he be in the conversation for that?
No. There are too many other good guys. There, like Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, David Johnson should still be in that conversation because it was like we've talked about in the past. It was a wrist injury. It wasn't anything with his legs that would really alter his gameplay. So I would not take Zeke at 1. Especially with the Cowboys' offense just struggling last year. They weren't very good. He was good, but the offense in general wasn't.
Right now, average draft position across all fantasy sites, Ezekiel Elliott is the 4th guy coming off the board behind Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson. A couple more picks that have gone off the board, and we're rolling along pretty quick here. DeAndre Hopkins went 6th. Second wide receiver taken off the board. Alvin Kamara goes after that. I liked Alvin Kamara. Leonard Fournette at 9, Kareem Hunt at 10. So we are on the clock. We've got Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, AJ Green. A lot of wide receivers. The top running back are Melvin Gordon, Dalvin Cook, LeSean McCoy, Christian McCaffrey, etc. We could also go Rob Gronkowski at tight end. What would your opinion be here on where we should go? I'm feeling like there's a
PPR,
lot of solid wide receivers.
Like,
remember, we pick the other side. Maybe you grab one of the running backs here. Melvin Gordon, Dalvin Cook, LeSean McCoy. Because really, it's a drop-off after that.
Normally in this spot, I would take a receiver, but because it's a snake draft, obviously, and because we'll have one of the first picks in the second round, I would take it back here.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take Dalvin Cook.
Very fair.
A couple more picks. We're already back on the clock. Odell Beckham and Julio Jones. While somebody going back-to-back wide receivers. I mean, you're getting caliber receivers that good. Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. I'm okay with it. Now, here's the thing. Normally, I like to go running back, but in this spot, I don't love it as much because it's different. If I'm getting one stud running back and then I'm getting a decent one on the other side, then I'm okay with it. But right here, the top guys are LeSean McCoy, Christian McCaffrey, Devontae Freeman. I think this is where you go wide receiver. Top guys on the board, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, AJ Green. How do you like Keenan Allen for PPR?
I think Keenan Allen's a great pick, but I would almost disagree with you a little bit where you look at Christian McCaffrey, who had like 80 receptions last year. This is PPR. He had a lot
McCaffrey?
Of catches last year. I would pick McCaffrey here.
All right, let's go McCaffrey. Let's see what happens when we go running back.
He's a wide receiver at running back, you know?
Really, he should get some flexibility in terms of wide receiver.
Yes.
You should be able to play him as a wide receiver.
The good old Tyreek Hill, Dexter McCluster type.
CJ Spiller for a little bit.
Yeah.
He played receiver for the Bills. People forget that for a little bit. We got a couple picks that have gone after Saquon Barkley, Davante Adams. How do you like Davante Adams? He's being picked right now as an elite wide receiver. He's going as the 7th wide receiver, right behind Keenan Allen, right behind Michael Thomas, right ahead of Mike Evans and AJ Green. It's really good territory for Davante Adams. He's supposed to be replacing that Jordy Nelson role. Remember, this is a guy really inconsistent, especially in fantasy circles the past couple years.
really inconsistent, and also there's kind of a wild card still out there with Dez Bryant being unsigned in Green Bay, landing spot that makes sense. Like, if they sign Dez, they're not going to sign him to use him as their number two.
I don't think they're going to sign him, though. I feel like they would have it.
If you're
point,
drafting if this early, I would be hesitant on Adams. But if you're drafting later in the summer and Dez is either signed or it's been ruled out that he's not going to Green Bay, then I would look at Adams more seriously in this spot. But because he's not signed, you don't know if he goes to Green Bay what volume of touches he's going to get. There's too much uncertainty. And with your higher picks like this, for me, I almost want to go with like what I know is a given, you know?
Melvin Gordon, Adam Thielen coming off the board with the last two picks. A guy that could be interesting, we got a while before we come up again. And Mark Ingram, he's ranked here as the 30th running back. And we talked a little bit about our last episode how he had dropped in average draft position, but not by a lot. And I'm looking for him right now, and I'm not seeing him. He's down to the 43rd pick, 22nd running back. Now, obviously, we're not going to do it because we've got two running backs. And by the way, pick 35, right? Not pick 42. But when do you start thinking about Mark Ingram?
Round 4 is when I start to think of Mark Ingram. Kind of the same points as we talked about last time.
He's going around that Jerick McKinnon range. I would so much rather have Jerick McKinnon than him.
Yeah, especially because Ingram's going to be obviously splitting carries and touches, and he's going to miss four games. And he's holding out for a contract. So he's even missing that offseason condition. Like, Mark Ingram could be a disaster this year.
I think he's a guy I almost take off my board because there are so many red flags about him with the off-the-field stuff and just him getting on the field. You have to remember, how long has he been in the league? 7-8 years?
Long time.
And how many elite fantasy seasons has he had?
Just one.
Just one. So we're banking on this guy to do what he's done 1 out of 7 times or whatever.
And who's to say that New Orleans won't even focus on Alvin Kamara more this year?
I think he should, too.
Yeah, and they'd be almost silly not to. And if Kamara's getting more touches, I mean, Ingram could still be productive in the final, you know, 12 games of his season, but it's a risky play.
Josh Gordon goes off the board just ahead of Mike Evans and AJ Green. That's a risky pick. Jerick McKinnon, Larry Fitzgerald, Rob Gronkowski, a couple picks away from us. Let's start talking strategy. Obviously, we have two running backs with Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey, two rookies from last season, and Dalvin Cook coming off the ACL injury. It's pretty clear we're not going running back here. It's probably wide receiver, but we could throw tight end and quarterback into the mix. Right now, Travis Kelce, Aaron Rodgers. Is there a player at one of those positions you think is good enough where you would start to push off receiver even further? Top receivers on the board right now, Doug Baldwin, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs.
Not in this spot, only because in a PPR league, it's too critical to have good receivers. I would almost consider going receiver here.
I would too. In fact, that would probably be my preference unless there was a guy that was just so good you couldn't pass him up, and I don't see that. So let's think about this right now. If we're going receiver, I feel like Tyreek Hill should be one of those picks.
Especially with Patrick Mahomes taking over in Kansas City.
And then the other one, I don't know, Baldwin with Wilson throwing the ball so much. Golden Tate's here. Alshon Jeffrey with Carson Wentz probably getting back on the swing of things. Stephon Diggs, Demaryius Thomas. We could go down to Juju Smith-Schuster or Amari Cooper. Is there another name that's sticking out here to you?
I like Baldwin here only because Seattle, this is classic like fantasy mind games here, but Seattle's not supposed to be as good this year.
A little more garbage time.
He's going to get it all. There's going to be a lot of Seattle trailing in the second half this year, you know, assuming everything goes. Football's a weird sport. You never know what's really going to happen, but assuming things go as planned, they're going to be trailing quite a bit, and Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin has been potent even in games that they're leading and milking clock.
Doug Baldwin was an elite receiver last year. He was an elite fantasy receiver. Well, we're not getting Tyreek Hill because he just goes off the board. We are on the clock. Aaron Rodgers was the other pick in between. Doug Baldwin's the top fantasy wide receiver available. He's going as the 11th receiver right now, average draft position. I think he's got to be the pick here.
Absolutely.
Doug Baldwin. Other receivers, we should probably start thinking of a backup plan since there is no Tyreek Hill. Demaryius Thomas, Stephon Diggs, Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate, Allen Robinson, Chicago. I would stay away from the Chicago pass game personally until I see it.
Right.
Trubisky, while he showed some signs that he could be good last year, I don't know. He showed some red flags as well.
His signs were not in the way of production, though. They weren't any bit productive last season in Chicago in the passing game. It was more like an encouraging play here or there. I don't know if that translates into like legitimate numerical success.
What about Juju?
To me, there's too many weapons there to pick him right now.
James Washington guy. So who? I think my preference here would be Alshon Jeffrey.
You might be getting 3 weeks of Nick Foles with that, though.
He was fine with Nick Foles, too, though.
He was, however.
Demaryius Thomas, you want Case Keenum, Golden Tate?
I would take.
You're out of time. Alshon Jeffrey's the pick. Rashad Penny goes right before him, Amari Cooper right after. You know, we can start talking strategy again, because now we're sitting here, four rounds in. We've got two running backs. We've got two wide receivers. Generally, that's the way I like to do things, and it kind of went in the order that I like to do it. Two running backs, then two wide receivers.
Especially when you get a running back that's a pass catcher.
Now, a lot of people would go for, okay, now it's time to get my quarterback. Now it's time to get my tight end. I'm still not in that boat. I think you got to be really deep at running back. I think you got to be really deep at wide receiver. And I think you need to pick your third, and maybe even some situations, fourth guy at running back and wide receiver before you get to especially quarterback. Because quarterback, get him anywhere. Pat Mahomes could be the 15th quarterback off the board here, and he could end up being an elite fantasy quarterback. We just don't know.
I've taken both approaches. I've taken quarterbacks early and gone for the elite talent at quarterback expecting production. And I've also gone super, super late with quarterbacks where you're just picking a guy up off the scrap heap, Joe Flacco in past years, things like that. And I think the right solution is, as it usually is, somewhere in the middle where you get a guy that's productive. You definitely want to waste a decent pick on it. Like, you definitely want to, you don't want to take the worst of the worst. But I also feel like the value isn't there getting like a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers that early. I mean, it could be a big swing in points, but not so big where you would risk having to start like a third string running back in a week because of an injury or bye weeks. So I agree with you that way. I would bolster my receiver and running back depth before going for a quarterback or tight end. Unless it was like, you know, Travis Kelce or someone sitting there that...
Sure. Continuing here on the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast, we are 8 picks away. Team so far, if you missed it, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Doug Baldwin, Alshon Jeffrey. We are doing a 12-team PPR mock draft. Jody Biasi here on the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. While we're waiting for our pick, go through a couple headlines. David Johnson originally thought he had an injury. He missed some practice this week in OTAs. And remember, he's coming off that wrist injury that caused him to miss 15 weeks last season. Crucial blow for a lot of fantasy owners. His injury was reported to be not serious. But then we get word that Mike Garofalo reports there was no injury, that we don't really know what it is. And then more David Johnson news coming out later that the Cardinals are likely to extend David Johnson. So a lot of confusion here. It doesn't seem like it's anything that should affect his draft stock or his availability for the regular season. I think he's good to go. You have to remember, too, with David Johnson, no knee injury last year. Usually when running backs miss a whole season, like we look at guys like Dalvin Cook, who we just picked here in this mock draft, they're coming off ACLs, they're coming off knee injuries. That's something that could come up again. David Johnson is a wrist thing. That's generally not something you re-aggravate, especially when he's had, it's basically going to end up being almost a full year that he has to recover from it. So you should not really have a lot of injury risk with David Johnson, at least no more than you would have with any other guy. We'll talk a little bit more about the Rob Gronkowski, I don't know if I want to call it a report or rumor or what I want to call it, but we'll get into that a little bit later. There's some trade wins, I guess you could call them, on Rob Gronkowski. We are a couple picks away. Guys that have just gone off the board that I like to get into, Juju Smith-Schuster goes with pick 2 of round 5. Sony Michel goes after him. The rookie running backs coming off the board a little bit here. Rashad Penny had already gone, Saquon Barkley. Sony Michel as the third rookie running back. Royce Freeman, Denver, as the fourth in this mock draft. I think, to be fair, that's very high for Michelle, and I think that's high for Freeman. I think a guy like Ronald Jones II out of Tampa Bay should have been probably the second rookie picked, but he's not. He's still on the board. Now, we've already got Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, so we can decide what we want to do, but we're 2 picks away. 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs. Generally, my preference here would be to go with the best running back available. There really isn't a guy, though, that's clear-cut above the rest. We've got some great quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. I'm getting to the point on Russell Wilson, and this is new for me, because my fantasy football career, it's always been, oh, you pick quarterback late. You might even pick quarterback last. The last guy to pick one. I could pick him with the last pick of the last round. I'll be fine. I'm just going to stream. But Russell Wilson, man. There were weeks last week, or last year, where I lost strictly because I was going up against Russell Wilson. And will he do that again? I don't really see why not. He's got the athleticism. His team is pretty much the same around him. They got a little worse on defense. That could even help him with more garbage time. And like I said, there's really not a running back that's available here that I would really sink my teeth into and say, yeah, I can start him as my flex. Duke Johnson, Marlon Mack, Isaiah Crowell with the Jets. Chris Thompson, it was great last season, but now we've got Darius Geis there. Just to see how it goes, I think Russell Wilson here. Russell Wilson with the second last pick of round 5. You get your quarterback. You don't have to worry about it. Generally, that's not my advice to people. I would always say stream. Look out. See, there's some rookie quarterbacks this year that could be really good. Lamar Jackson, if he gets on the field, would be good. He probably won't, but Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. There's always going to be like a rookie that's pretty good in fantasy circles. Last year was Deshaun Watson. So I don't know. I think Wilson, though, is that good. You're getting him in a round five. I'm not having to spend too much to get him. I think he's worth the pick there because he is a guy that can win you weeks by himself and do it a lot. 4 or 5 times in a single year, he could probably do it. So we're coming up again here. Ronald Jones goes off the board. Jarvis Landry. Julian Edelman with the 4-game suspension. I like him as a sleeper pick with that 4-game suspension. I think it'll drop his value more than it should. That's still a little early for me. I wouldn't pick him quite in round 6. I'd be targeting him more for that round 8, round 9 range. You pick him, you stash him on your bench for 4 weeks, you bring him in, he's an immediate upgrade probably to whatever you had as a flex and maybe even as a wide receiver too. So watch out for Julian Edelman, but I would not be looking for him that early. He goes in this mock draft in the early, actually, last pick of the 5th round. Brandon Cooks goes off the board. Michael Crabtree. I'll talk a little bit about Brandon Cooks here, but first, we are back on the clock. Still only sitting with 2 running backs and 2 wide receivers. A lot of wide receivers available. Robert Woods has been hanging around. Emmanuel Sanders, Pierre Garçon. Now, Pierre Garçon was really good in that San Francisco offense last year. They bring in Garoppolo. I'm not super high on Garoppolo, but he is an upgrade. I think Garcon's got to be the pick. Veteran guy. Usually I'd like to go for the younger guys, but, you know, I'm going against a couple of my typical advice nuggets here. Quarterback in round 5, kind of an older wide receiver in round 6. So that's what our team's looking like right now. We got Russell Wilson, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Doug Baldwin, Alshon Jeffrey, and then Pierre Garçon sitting in our flex. The couple picks that went after, Tom Brady goes in the early 6th round. I think that's pretty fair for him. A lot of picks going quickly here. Just after that, Deshaun Watson off the board, round 6, pick 9. Deshaun Watson's an interesting one because he was so good last year. He was that Russell Wilson territory where he was winning you games by himself. That ACL injury, though, is worrisome because a lot of that was his rushing ability, his ability to get you fantasy points with his legs, his ability to extend plays with his legs to get more passing touchdowns. So the ability is so good, at least from what we saw last season, but that injury risk is also there. Round 6, you know, to be honest, I would advocate picking him around where our team here picked Russell Wilson, that mid-round 5 range. If you want to even go a little higher on him, maybe like a late round 4, I think Deshaun Watson, he's a little undervalued right now. Now we're sitting here, back on the clock, 3 wide receivers, probably want to go running back. Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, it could be better. We've got 2 solid guys, but it could be better. The guy that I think is most deserving of this pick is Tevin Coleman, Atlanta running back. A lot of that is his ability. I think he's a really good running back. To be honest, if he's not in Atlanta, if he's the starter somewhere else, I think he's probably top 10, at least top 15. But he's there. He's behind Devontae Freeman. That's always going to limit production. I do think that with Devontae Freeman having some injury questions, he's had some concussions, a couple knee injuries. I think there's some injury risk with Freeman. That's why Coleman, you know, he could be a high reward player. And his floor is not that low because he's going to give you some, especially in a PPR league, he's going to give you catches. He's going to give you yards. He might not give you that many touchdowns, but he's going to give you some decent production even if he's not the starter there. And if by somehow, whether it be injury or maybe he just outplays Freeman, which I wouldn't predict, but it could happen, then Coleman becomes like a top 10 running back. If he ends up the starter there somehow, some way, that's a steal in the 7th round. Back up again in the 8th round. We still don't have a tight end. I get myself in trouble, and I probably wouldn't advise owners to do this, but not to wait too long on tight end. And this would be a little early for me, but I think this is probably where you should advise people to start looking at that tight end. Kyle Rudolph, Jimmy Graham available, Tyler Eifert, just way too many injury issues for me to want to consider him. To be honest, I think Kyle Rudolph is the pick here, and we're going to take Kyle Rudolph because Kyle Rudolph has Kirk Cousins there now. Kirk Cousins coming from Washington had a great rapport with Jordan Reed for the couple years that they hooked up together. Even with all the injury issues that Reed had, Kyle Rudolph, solid. Not gonna blow you away. He's not an elite tight end by any means, but, you know, if he ends up being, I could see him being the top 5 tight end that we've seen him show before. Before we get back into the mock draft, a couple of news items that I wanted to get back into. We already talked a little bit about David Johnson and the news on him today earlier. Rob Gronkowski, Interesting stuff happening with Rob Gronkowski. Now, the report, there were reports, trade rumors floating around with Gronkowski earlier in the day, recording this on a Friday. And obviously, Rob Gronkowski, still in the Patriots. Adam Kirchen, freelance writer, formerly of the Boston Herald, reporting that the Gronk rumors were, now he's not reporting these are true, but he's reporting that the Gronk rumors were that he told Bill Belichick that he wanted to be traded, and that Belichick had offers on the table with both the Tennessee Titans and the San Francisco 49ers, and that Robert Kraft had a closed-door meeting with Belichick about this, and that Tom Brady threatened to retire if a Gronkowski trade went through, and Robert Kraft nixed it, nixed any deal that there was. Could have been with Tennessee, could have been with San Francisco, maybe there was a third team, who knows. And then we get the quote from the Patriots PR head, Stacey James. I would say with the utmost confidence that none of that is true. None of it. End quote. So it looks like Rob Gronkowski is staying in New England. But it's out there. And there's question marks with him. If you are in a keeper league or a dynasty league, I don't know if you're going to be able to, I wouldn't qualify it as a sell high. At least he shouldn't be a sell high in Gronkowski. But if you can find an owner, maybe he's in win now mode. Like, all in. Like, he's got some veteran running backs. He's got some veteran wide receivers. Maybe he's got guys like Antonio Brown, Tom Brady, where, you know, this might be it. This might be the year where you got to go all in for it, for that title. If this is a dynasty league, especially, and also maybe a keeper league, that's the guy you should be targeting to trade Rob Gronkowski to. Because, to be honest, long-term value, it just doesn't look like it's there for him. He's had injury issues. There's been rumors he could retire over injury issues. He didn't commit to playing next season until, what, this month? Last month? It certainly wasn't right after the Super Bowl because he did not commit to playing then. And now there's all this trade stuff and maybe there's a feud with Belichick. It's just a situation that I would not want to go near. I know he is just by far the best fantasy tight end we have ever seen, but he's clearly on the downside. So I would try to stay away with it. He still has really good value, though, where you trade him away, maybe try to get a young running back, try to get a young receiver. You know, flip your depth. Go from old tight end, try to get a young running back or wide receiver. That's what I would be looking to do if I had Rob Gronkowski. If you don't get the value you were looking for, though, you're not really in a spot where I think you have to move him. But if you get an opportunity to do it, go for it. And we are on the clock again for two more picks. Again, quick rundown. Russell Wilson is our quarterback. Our running backs are Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey in the starting spots. Starting wide receivers, Doug Baldwin, Alshon Jeffrey, Pierre Garçon in the flex. Kyle Rudolph in the tight end spot. We have one bench player right now. It is running back Tevin Coleman out of Atlanta. So we can really go anywhere with this that's not quarterback or tight end. And there's some names on the board that, like, Theo Riddick, Bilal Powell, CJ Anderson. Those are all veteran guys. It's just not that enticing to me. I want to go for a wild card here. DJ Moore, rookie wide receiver. Rookie wide receivers, they're tough. They're hit or miss. We've seen guys like Laquon Treadwell do absolutely nothing. He maybe had one catch in his rookie season. But DJ Moore's in a spot in Carolina where the only other guy there really is Devin Funchess and Greg Olsen. And Greg Olsen's obviously the tight end. So there's going to be targets available there. And, you know, Cam Newton, while he's inaccurate at times, he's a good enough quarterback where fantasy receivers can thrive with him as his quarterback. We saw it with Kelvin Benjamin. We even saw it with Funchess a little bit last season. Moore, I like as a prospect. He's got speed. He's got really good hands. He's a little bit undersized, which worries me with Newton a little bit because Cam's kind of, you know, he'll overthrow his receivers once in a while. So that worries me a little bit, but he's got that downfield passing ability. I like that combination with Moore. There's no more Ted Ginn there, obviously. I don't really know who their other deep threat would be at this point. So I like DJ Moore. If I was going to go with a rookie receiver, he would certainly be it. Calvin Ridley's also been ADP. They're actually basically going the same. They're going in the 10th round. But, you know, Moore's going to have more opportunity. Calvin Ridley has to compete with Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, all these guys he's got to compete with for targets. And we're on the clock again. I think another receiver should be the pick here. Sterling Shepard, one of my sleepers of the season coming up, is Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard. He's got a new head coach, Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur, who, you know, looking at the wide receivers that have played with Pat Shurmur, and I'll use the one that's most recent, Stephon Diggs. And that position, you look at that, I think it's the Y wide receiver position. You look at Pat Shurmur's career and who plays in that position, basically you're always going to get a really good fantasy wide receiver, really, no matter who it is. Stephon Diggs comes out of nowhere. I think he's an undrafted wide receiver. He ends up being a wide receiver too for over two seasons. And at times a wide receiver one. Sterling Shepard looks like he's going to play that role with the Giants. And he built a little bit of rapport with Eli Manning last year with all the other injuries. Odell Beckham was injured. They really didn't have anything at running back. And Shepard, you know, built a rapport with Eli Manning, playing as their number one receiver for a big chunk of the season. But Odell Beckham's back. Odell Beckham's back. Saquon Barkley is there. I wouldn't really advise taking Shepard too high, but right here we get him in the early 10th round. I think there's a lot of upside with a receiver playing a position that we've seen have a lot of success under Pat Shurmur, especially over the past couple years in Minnesota. I think you could see Sterling Shepard end the season here as a wide receiver too, so that top 20 range, maybe that 15 to 20 range in a PPR league especially. Skipping ahead in our mock draft, just kind of putting the wraps on it, picking Albert Wilson, wide receiver out of Miami in the 11th round. He right now is fourth on that depth chart, but you got guys in front of him, Devontae Parker, Danny Amendola, even Kenny Stills, that all have had injury issues. So I wonder if Albert Wilson, especially since Miami, probably not going to be that great a team. Could be some garbage time opportunities. I think he could have some solid stats this season. He's our pick in round 11. Round 12, sticking with wide receiver. Tried to load up on it. Tyler Lockett out of Seattle, big playability. Hoping I can get some big value on a guy like that. That could be a guy that I might end up dropping week 2, week 3. But you never know. Russell Wilson there, he could explode. I'm gonna hope that I can get some good value out of Tyler Lockett. Then moving on to round 13, we'll go with Latavius Murray. Needed another running back. He is the backup to Dalvin Cook right now. Clear cut. No more Jerick McKinnon. Ooh, there's other Viking backup running backs. Matt Asiata. There's no one like that around. So I think Latavius Murray, even if you don't own Dalvin Cook, Cook coming off a torn ACL, Latavius Murray was pretty good last season, even splitting carries with Jerick McKinnon. If Cook, God forbid, were to get injured again, Latavius Murray steps in there and is a three-down running back. For the most part, unless somebody else emerges, Latavius Murray is going to get almost all of those carries, all of those touches. Latavius Murray, I think, is a guy you need to target late in drafts, especially if you have Dalvin Cook, but even if you don't, he's a good pick. Then round 15, we grab a tight end, Cameron Brate, Tampa Bay. Last season, first 8 weeks of the season, Cameron Brate was a tight end one. After that, he fell off. And a lot of that was Ryan Fitzpatrick come in. He didn't have a connection with him. Now, the thing that scares you about Cameron Brate, and which is why this he goes this late in the draft, round 15, is that Cameron Brate has a tight end in front of him on the depth chart. O.J. Howard is the starting tight end there. O.J. Howard was a first-round pick. He was a highly touted prospect. So it is a little bit scary, but they signed Cameron Brate for a reason. They brought him back. They signed him to, I think, a four-year deal in free agency. He's a red zone target. They're going to use him. They signed him for a reason. So I'm a little terrified of him, which is why I took him this late. But, you know, there could be potential there for 7-8 touchdowns, and that's low-end tight end 1, high-end tight end 2. I think he probably falls in that range by the end of the season. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. We will have more episodes coming up in the next few weeks, a couple mock draft specials. We'll do an auction draft. We'll continue to cover all the fantasy headlines, especially as mini camp and training camp gets going. And don't forget to check out all of our fantasy content at WGR550.com. That's where you can find this podcast in our on-demand audio. You can find more articles from myself and others on our website, WGR550.com. All right. It's going to do it for me. More episodes to come. Later, everybody.